of you remember what we shared last week? How many of you remember what you were sharing last week? Can I see a show of hands? Just lift. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but just lift up your hand. Just remind me. Just one word, you know. How many of you can remember? How many of you can remember what we shared last week? Oh, my goodness. That is not a sign of encouragement. Mom, I know you can remember what we shared last week. Christine? Okay, Pastor Francis, can you remember? Tony, please save me. What did we share last week? You know, being my namesake, you have to remind me, man. Save me. I didn't say you asked somebody. Who was here last week? Let me see. Sister Fine, I know Sister Fine remembers. She always remembers. What did we share last week? Yes. God is doing a new thing. You were blessed by that message, but it was not last week. We were talking about the grace of our Lord. Remember? We were talking about how powerful the grace of our Lord is. I'll be asking. One boy, can you remind me what we were sharing? I know you remember. I just said the grace. We were talking about, by the way, I didn't want to mean to embarrass anybody. I know you remember. This is what we do in the Bible study. Once you just you're reminded of one word, everything comes to life. Amen? So don't beat on yourself. Say, I'm okay. Yeah. You know, you just had so many things during the week. But I'm just going to refresh what we shared last week. We shared from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, verse number 1 to 7. And we saw how, it's the whole topic is talking about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen? And see? Now you remember, everything comes to life. We were talking about a soldier. Remember, and I read that thing, what it really means to have discipline as a soldier. Do you remember that, Carol? That discipline is not just obeying a set of rules. Discipline goes much, much deeper, you know, into our persona. It goes to, you know, a disciplined soldier not only obeys rules, but it goes way, way beyond. Discipline is ingrained within his system. So that when he hears a command, even though he might be tired, even though he might not feel like doing it, he is there anyway to obey the command. Praise the Lord. And we were reminding ourselves, or the Holy Spirit was reminding us, that that is the same way that the Lord wants us to do. So that when he sounds a command, when he says, Brother Joel, I need you to go to brother so-and-so and give them an encouragement. You're not going to give him a reason. You say, oh Lord, you know, I just came from work right now. In spite of the fact that you are tired, that you'll be always ready to serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is what it means to be a good soldier. You might be tired, you might be going through some stuff, but the Lord still requires us to step on the plate so that we can do the work of the Lord. Remember, the Bible says that we must do the work of him that sent us while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work no more. Can you say all with me? We must do the work. Okay. Now, this side doesn't seem to understand what I'm saying, but this side seems to understand. Can you say, we must do the work? Oh, no, you are wondering what happened. Okay, I think this side now. We must do the work.
We must do the work.
Oh, now you get it. Now, let us all say together, we must do the work of him that sent us while it is still day. For night cometh when no man worketh no more. When you go into the grave, you won't have any opportunity to serve the Lord. Are you listening to me? So when you have even a single opportunity, and it might be little. You know, sometimes we feel like the Lord is requesting us to do such a big assignments, and you feel like, you know, when you have not even done those big assignments, like maybe going to Africa to care for the orphans and to help people who are destitute, that probably you have not done the work of the Lord. But I want to erase that from our mind. Doing the work of the Lord may be as simple as calling somebody and encouraging them when they are down. Doing the work of the ministry is when you care for a loved one, maybe who is going through some trouble, and you just go here. Let me tell you, sometimes people have called me You know, and they have called me and they just want to pour out from their spirits because they are going through sometimes some things. And let me tell you, I might be just there listening and I'm just be going, oh, is it? Oh my goodness. And the person might be pouring and pouring for 30 minutes. And you know what? I never said even a single word. And you know what they say? Pastor, you have really helped me. And I'm like, you have really helped me. I didn't even say anything. But you know what? Just because I was there, I gave a listening ear. At that time, God, when he looks at you, Pastor Francis, you have done the work of the Lord. So don't expect that God will disqualify you just because, you know, or you have to do big things. Start small. Even a young baby starts with their baby steps, right? You don't expect when you get, you know, a little one, you know, they start crawling and they start moving around. They start by dragging their body, you know, moving from point A to point B. And sometimes they start, you know, crawling, you know, standing up by the tables and by the stools that you have by the house. Before you know it, that baby is going like this and he falls down. But he wakes up again and he tries again and he walks down. And that is the greatest moment to a parent because you know that your child has started walking. Amen? You even want to take pictures. You want to take a video so that you can remember in the future that this baby, when they started walking. So God expects us, even in a little way, do something for God. Turn to somebody, tell them, do something for God. Yeah, turn to the other person, even on the back, pat them, tell them, do something for God. Yes, do something for God. God is waiting on us to jump into the arena and do something for God. You can do it. Amen? You can do it. Never look down on yourself. You have what it takes even to do something in the church. Hallelujah. You see, I thank God for the men that come up here. It is not easy. Some of them come from work and some of them, you know, it's a sacrifice. We meet here and practice and we go through the keys and we go through our classes. Sometimes Julius is listening to what I'm seeing, and then sometimes I'm listening to what I'm seeing, and the teacher says, no, you stay apart. You know, but in so doing, we come and present something. You know, you guys see men who come here smartly dressed and they're singing. There's so much work that goes behind what we just practice here. And when you hear me laughing, it's because, you know, I know these mistakes we make all the time. There's so much work. We come here almost an hour, 2 hours sometimes to practice. But you know, you're just seeing this man, my goodness, they have nice melodies. No, there's a story behind their glory. Amen? So you have what it takes. Do something. God has called you maybe to be a singer. How long are you going to sit on that talent? I thank God even for people who are rising up and they are saying, you know what, beginning, like Sister Anne said, you know what, I heard what you said and I hear the Spirit of God speaking to me. I've been a worship leader before and I am going to start singing. And guess what? The moment you make a step, Sister Fine, God is going to bring all these things you never even thought that you had. Amen? You have been wondering, where am I going to keep my children? Yes, I want to sing. But you know what? Make a step. Stand to somebody, tell them, make a step. Oh, yes. When you make a step, God is going to provide for you. You'll be amazed that many times God wants us just to make a step of faith. Because let me tell you, the things that you're going to do is a step of faith. For you to come out of your comfort zone, nobody wants any change. You tell me to get out of what I'm used to doing, I don't want to do it. But God wants us to change our mentality. He wants us to change our mind on the way we view his work. Amen? The moment you take a step, let me tell you, during Kesha here, or Friday nights, and by the way, I would like you to encourage every one of you, whenever you have an opportunity, come. It is for your benefit. I have seen parents who come with their little ones. My goodness. They come and they are going, you know, and they are going, they are saying, oh Lord, I'm praying for this. And they have little babies. How about those people who even don't have any babies and they are just maybe watching TV? You know what? By the way, I'm not stepping on you. But what I'm telling you, come even for 30 minutes. 30 minutes, go home and sleep. I just need you to come, even 5 minutes. Show up. Join with the team, pray for your family. Even if you're going to just pray for your family, go home. You'll be okay. Amen? So don't expect that, you know, you might think, oh, Pastor Tony really has so much expectations. Even God does not really expect so great things. He wants, first of all, to make a baby step. Once you make a baby step and then he strengthens you, he shows you, see, you made it. You see, you did it. The moment you realize that you have done so many things, you look back, utasema, am I the one who did all those things? Am I the one who was trusted to accomplish all that work? Amen? Be in your element. I believe that everybody has a brand in themselves. Amen? There was a guy who invented Nike. Amen? That was just a brand that was in himself. This man you see here has a brand of, he teaches music even with the band. They say, Domele Misa. I said, why do you do that? How do you do that? They're in their element. There's a brand that is coming out of them. Sister Fine, you have a brand that is waiting. People are waiting to buy it. They're waiting. When are you going to release that brand? When you're in your element, Sister Purity. When you're organizing and selling things, nobody can do it like you do. This woman you see here can sell things, man. She can even sell this building if we joke. And it is somebody's building. You see? She will just write to you, see me on your inbox. Because she doesn't want to embarrass any people. Like we want to dispose some things and you must be prepared to. You know, if you want to buy those things, go see her. Don't come and see me. See her. She'll organize. Be in your element. Amen? Brother Joel, be in your element. When you everybody fits, that's how the body is supposed to be. When we fit in the body, everybody is going to be a hand. And I've said this many times, and we have preached, we have been preached to many, many times. Somebody else is going to be a finger. Somebody else is going to be an ear. Somebody else is going to be a hair. Somebody else is going to be some intestines. Can I surprise you? That some of us will die having never seen the intestines. Do you know how your intestines look like? Except the picture that you see depicted, that this is how the small intestines look like. Yet you cannot survive without intestines, yeah? So what does that mean? There's some responsibility and assignments that God is going to give to some of us that may not really be celebratory. Nobody is going to ever know what you do, but you do it anyway. Amen? You come here in the church, and maybe you're cleaning up the chairs, and by the time the service ends, everybody coming in the church is completely tidy, but God knows what you did. There are people who get on their closet, and they are praying for people, and they are praying for families, and they are interceding, but nobody ever knew that you interceded for them. You just experience miracles, and you wonder, how is these things happening to me? But there's somebody inside the closet that is calling upon the name of the Lord for you. Are you listening to me, church? So find the place where God has called you. Fit in and do whatever God calls you to do. Are you listening to me, church? Hallelujah. Now, Paul speaks and he speaks to Timothy, and I just want to bring really very, very fast, you know, what we talked. And he tells him, be strong through the grace that God has given you in Christ. We are made strong by the grace that the Lord has given us. Praise the Lord. By the grace the Lord has given us. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. Amen? Grace is nothing else but unmerited favor. It is undeserved mercy. Praise the Lord. And we saw that grace is when Jesus Christ hung on the tree and there was a trading. I've traded my sorrows. I've traded my sickness. We sing that song. There was a trading that took place on that day. We traded our sorrows for his death. We traded, his sorrows for our comfort. We traded our sickness for our health. We are made strong by the transaction that took place on the cross of Calvary. And he speaks to Timothy and he tells him, Timothy, I want you to know that you are made strong by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he explains and he speaks, and we saw what grace is. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 1, verses 12, that as many as have received him, they have been given power to become sons of God. Praise the Lord. In the Bible, in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, verse number 1 to 12, the Bible says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Paul explains the grace of God in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15, verse 9 to 10, and he says, for I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle. Listen what he says. He says, because I have persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. You are what you are because of the grace of God. I wish somebody said an amen on that part. When you say an amen, it means let it be so. Paul says, I am what I am because of the grace. Some of us would never even stand before people because we would shake and crumble. You would just see me sometimes when some of you don't even know that I can be very, very shy. That I sometimes crumble. You know, when I hear that I'm going to, sometimes when I'm coming to share the word of the Lord, I wonder, God, how am I going to speak it? How am I going to phrase it? How am I going to do? How am I going to, you know, I have all these things running through my mind. Yet, when you look at me, you might think, oh, pastor, he has such a confidence. It is the grace. If God withdraws the grace, I don't even know what I can tell you. Amen? But it is by the grace that has made me what I am. It is the grace of the Lord that has made what you are. Amen? And that grace has given you strength. Praise be to God. Oh, but you better say a big amen for that. Yes, the grace of the Lord has made you what you are. And the Bible, and that Paul continues to say, it is by the grace of God that I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. In other words, the grace of God has done some work within me. Amen? And he says, no, I worked harder than all of them. In other words, Paul says that I've worked harder than the Peter, John, James, or the apostles of Christ. I've worked harder than most of all. Yeah? Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Amen? So when things happen in your life and you're able to speak articulatively, or you're able to speak miracle, you're able to speak revelation from the word of the Lord, it is not you. It is the grace of God that is at work in you. And you need to rejoice and give God the glory, Pastor Francis. When you're given a pulpit, maybe to speak to that meeting, and people go, wow. How do you even do that? Say, it is by the grace of God that is at work in me. Amen. When you're working tirelessly and you have this commitment and there's that consistency and you're doing, you feel the zeal of God is seizing you up and you want to help people and you want to serve God and you want to pray and you want to read the word, you want people to go and do great things for the Lord. It is the grace of God that is at work in you, Mom. Hallelujah. That grace is doing some work in you. Whether you know it or you do not know it, it is taking you somewhere. Somebody say, the grace of God. Come on, say aloud with me. The grace of God is taking me somewhere. Come on, say like you mean it. The grace of God is taking me somewhere. Yes, the grace of God is taking you somewhere. I believe it with the whole of my heart. When you abandon yourself in the grace of God, it will take you somewhere. And no wonder Paul says, no, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Praise the Lord. We saw that in Titus 2, chapter number 12, that the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Amen? So the grace of God also becomes as a teacher. It is kind of like a plumb line that aligns you so that you'll be in the perfect will of God. You know, let me tell you, if the grace of God would be removed from us, we would just be regular people. You know, we would even want to curse somebody. We would even want to defraud somebody. We would even want, when you're given loose change, somebody may give you and some extra money, you'd want to put that in your pocket. But when the grace of God is in at work in you, you say, you know what, this is not fair. The grace of God will be telling you, you know, Tony, this is not fair. You cannot take that money from that guy. This is not fair. They may not know, but it is not fair. So can you return that money? Can you give them what they're due? Can you be fair to them? Can you articulate everything because it is not fair? The grace of God, when you abandon yourself with, you know, under the grace of God, it teaches you to say no to ungodliness. Hallelujah. Amen. The grace of God will teach you when somebody comes and tells you something bad about, to speak something ill against your brother. You say, no, I cannot take this. I know my sister is a blessed girl. I know God is taking her somewhere. And I refuse to take those words that you're giving me. Right now, I render those words powerless in the name of Jesus. I choose to bless my sister. I choose to bless my brother. When you hear something that is said against your pastor, you'll say, no, I cannot take that. The grace that is within me cannot allow me to hear what you're telling me. Amen? Because the grace of God is at work within us. Praise God. And I love the second part of the scripture that we are sharing here today. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. The Bible says, and you are suffering along with me as a good soldier. We saw what it meant to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we saw what characterizes a good soldier and the etiquettes of a good soldier. Number one is discipline. You will never see a soldier who is worthy their call or worthy their system of rulership, worthy with a member of an armed forces of a certain group who doesn't know what discipline is. And I just told you what discipline is. The discipline is more, and I think I can just state just briefly maybe some of the just to refresh your mind. This is the Bible says discipline. Oh no, not the Bible, but this. The etiquette of a soldier says discipline is not merely compliance with a set of rules and regulations drawn up for the purpose of preserving order in an organization. Listen to me. This is only one face of discipline. Are you listening to me? I need to hear yes. It is, in its deeper and more important sense, discipline may be defined as a habit. Somebody say habit. Habit of instantaneous and instinctive obedience under any and all circumstances. It is the habit whereby the very muscles of the soldier instinctively obey the word of command, so that under whatever circumstances of danger or death, the soldier may hear the word of command, even though his mind may be too confused to work, his muscles will obey. It is toward this ultimate objective that all rules of discipline tend to go. In war, the value of this habit of instantaneous and instinctive obedience is invaluable. History shows us that the chief factor of success in any war is discipline, and that without discipline, nobody of the troops can hold their own against a well-directed, well-disciplined force. You see, history has even narrated or outlined that for you to succeed in any warfare, how many of you that know that we engage in a warfare constantly? In order for you to win any war, you have to be disciplined. How are you going to be disciplined? By knowing what the word of God says concerning you. Amen? The word of God says that I've been given power and authority, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. Therefore, whatever assaults are being mooted from the kingdom of the devil, when they are coming towards me, guess what? They are coming towards a person who knows their position. And I'll tell him, devil, listen to me. Nothing that is lifted up against me shall prosper. I will step on your head and nothing shall by any means hurt me. Guess what? When you declare those words, that arrow will be directed back to where it came from. Just by your words. Amen? See, we were learning here on Saturday that the word of God on Friday, that the word of God never goes out and fails to accomplish the purpose for which it was. Therefore, when you declare the word of God, look at me, listen to me very clearly. When you declare the word of God, when you declare the word of God, expect that word to bring back to God some information about what it accomplished. Amen? Like when your child is sick, you say, I declare right now, you devil, you better take all your sickness and go. By the stripes of Jesus, you can quote Isaiah 53. By the stripes of Jesus, the Bible says that I'm healed. And therefore right now, I declare there to be healing from the crown of my baby's head to the soles of their feet. And I declare so in the name of Jesus. You know what that word does? It goes. It has been released. And let me tell you, it begins to go. And it finds some demons that are holding fever and bringing fever into your son. And they are beginning to war. And you are beginning, because you declare that word, it begins to fight. And it begins to fight. Let me tell you, if you so continuously believe in that word, in the morning your child will be feverless. Why? Because that word has to accomplish. Somebody say accomplish. Any word that you declare, as long as it is in the Bible, declare it. Declare word and it shall be what? Come on, Bible scholars. Declare a word and it shall be done what? And it shall be established, right? Declare a thing and it shall be established. Why? Because it's power. Somebody say power from your mouth. I want us to see ourselves through the eyes of Christ. Because when Jesus looks at you, he sees, oh my God, I wish this son of mine can know that when I died, When I died and resurrected, that power that took me out of the grave, that power that took me out of the sepulchre was infused in them. Hallelujah. You have that power. You may not even feel it because it is not supposed to be felt, but it is within you. Somebody say, it is within me. Come on, say like you mean it. It is within me. It is within me. Say like you mean it. It is within me. It is within me. It is within me. It is within you. It is within you. It is within you. Declare a thing and it shall be established. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so in the second part of that scripture, I'm just about now to close. It says, these are the things I said. As a soldier, don't get tied up in the civilian affairs. Amen? For they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. Verse number 5 says, and athletes, Paul is giving us examples of people of who we ought to emulate, or we have been called like these people. And he gives us these people. He gives us, number one, you ought to be like a soldier. A soldier ought not to involve himself with the civilian affairs. Amen? And he says, verse number five, he says, and athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the... Oh, God, this is written for all of us. It's not only for a few people. I want all of us to see that. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the... Everybody say rules. There has to be rules. In the Bible... The Bible is just a set of things that God wants us to accomplish. Amen? Amen? These are the rules God has given us. In fact, the Bible says, see, in the olden times, these people were so critical. In fact, if you read the book of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, the book of Numbers, you would even wonder, how did these people even please God? Because they had to do this. If you see, there had to be like a sacrifice that had to be done in a certain way. I mean, it was such a rigorous experience. But see now, the Bible says that the rules, the commandments have been written abroad in our hearts. Amen? You are just a walking epistle. As you go, God has given you the sense of judgment to know what is right and what is wrong. Amen? It's amazing. God has given us the sense of judgment to know what is wrong and right, because the commandments have been written in our hearts. When somebody calls you, you monkey, you know? You know very well that the commandment says that you should not. You don't have to say, what does the Bible say when somebody calls me a monkey? You know, you are going through the scriptures. When somebody calls me a monkey, you are also supposed to call them a monkey? No. And you know, when somebody calls you a monkey in our Greek, it actually looks worse than when you say it in English. You know, is that not true? In fact, if you call somebody you dog, you know, they will think that, you know, even Americans call themselves, oh, you old dog. I even wonder. In fact, the first time I heard somebody calling me somebody a dog, you know, say, oh, yeah. You know, it's like they appreciate being called an old dog, you know, because they love dogs. But if you use our Greek and call somebody a dog, guieno. Let me tell you. Oga, one hede wat, oga, demona diure. Have you heard of that? We used to say, Variajata. Did you do those purity during those days? You're telling somebody, rap the star. Hmm? When you use the Greek and call some names to somebody, it looks like it infuriates more you more than when they are used in a certain language. You know? But what does the Bible, when somebody is so abusive and has an ill intention concerning you, you know that the word of God will just spring up from your heart and say, just love your enemies. That word has been written by the blood of Jesus. All you need to do is pause and let that word upload, and you react to that, the upload. Am I speaking sense to somebody? When somebody does something wrong to you, you just wait and pause. Let that word be uploaded from the reservoir of your heart. And you will know how to treat them, Sister Elizabeth. When somebody, you know that somebody was doing some nasty thing so that you would fall, or maybe so that you could be fired from your place of work, all you need to do is just pause. What does the reservoir say? It will say, just pray for them, for they know not what they are doing. You will live successively when you learn to upload from the reservoir of your heart. Are you listening to me, church? Hallelujah. And it says about an athlete that we ought to be an athlete. Athlete cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And I came up with something. I Googled and I found you can also Google yourself and you can find the expectations of an athlete. I was actually surprised. Now, this was just a group of an expectation of it was distributed to some athletes who are competing in the Olympics. And it's so amazing what that these expectations that are outlined here are the expectations that you'd expect God to, that the Lord would expect of us as children of God. Amen? Number one, it says, treat teammates with respect. Somebody say, hello. Treat teammates with respect. In other words, we are all teammates. Amen? We are running the race. We are in this together. Like, for example, when we are saying that we are going, we shall be moving out of this place, we are in this thing together. Amen? So, some people are going to have some diverse, maybe, views about why are we doing this, why are we doing the other thing, but we ought to treat each other with respect. Somebody say respect. Yeah, respect each other. Don't just, respect each other. The Lord died for each one of us. There's no more blood shed on your behalf than that the brother who calls himself a brother in the Lord. Amen? The same measure of the blood was shed for Brother Ben. It also was shed for me. So I need to respect, regard him as higher than. You know, sometimes we have this thing of thinking that, you know, we are the super brothers. Oh, we are the super sisters, you know. And even you walk with a swagger, you know. And you don't even wonder they're untouchables. Have you seen that? You is Shindwe in the name of Jesus. People feeling that they're superior than others. The same blood that was shed on the cross was shed for me and you. Let me tell you, being your pastor, it is just an anointing the Lord has given me to be your pastor, to be your leader, to be your shepherd. Actually, a pastor is a shepherd. I'm supposed to lead you by where the green pasture is. But remove my pastorship, I'm just like, you are brothers. I have weaknesses like you. I don't even know why people have greater expectations for we. And I know that is how the Bible is. When I say, kwa nini huyo hata pastor alichelewa? I'm like you. It is just the anointing that the Lord has given me. Amen? If God has given you the same anointing, you will be surprised. You will still do what maybe somebody else does, but God energizes us the same. So there's no question of feeling like you're a super brother or a super sister, you know. Why are you looking at me like that, like you're the super sister? Praise the Lord. God tells us to respect one another. We ought to respect one another. I believe that's what God, even if he doesn't, I don't know the verse, but he says that. Respect one another. Number two. Encourage teammates when they make mistakes. Encourage teammates when they make mistakes. Are we going to make mistakes even as we sojourn in the Lord? Are there going to be any mistakes? What are we going to do? We are going to encourage them. Pastor Francis, you know what? That shoe that you put doesn't really match with your suit today. That's a mistake. But I'll encourage you in the Lord. I'm just... We are going to make mistakes, but let us encourage one another. You are going to speak a word, and I wonder, why did Brother Ben speak that word? Maybe I'll call him and I'll tell him, Ben, you know, next time it is good maybe to watch your words, especially when you're speaking to me. But I encourage you because you never know what would happen, but I still love you. Encourage your teammates when they make. Treat opponents, number three. Treat opponents with respect. Shake hands prior and after the contest. Now, this is the difference because we don't do a contest. We complete each other. Somebody say we complete each other. We are supposed to complete each other, not to compete with each other. Number four, respect judgment of officials. Abide by the rules and display no behavior that could incite fans. Now, I don't know where I would put that, but I was thinking maybe the judgment officials, maybe it would be the Holy Spirit and maybe Jesus telling you to do something for somebody and you refuse. But the Bible is saying respect the judgment of officials. Amen? When God has decided to bless Pastor Julius before Pastor Tony, I will respect that judgment and I'll say my turn is coming. Amen? When he is driving a Mark and I'm driving a... What do I drive? Oh, I will respect that judgment. Somebody say amen. You know I love you, bro. Amen? Don't be saying, alibalikuwa mbele yangu kwa nini? Amen? When you see another brother flying a plane, you know, they are going shopping to one place to another. Don't feel jealous because Tony has bought a plane and is going to Dallas to Mesquite, you know, to just come and do shopping. Don't feel jealous. Say, your turn is coming. Amen? respect the judgment of officials, because God distributes as he wills and he blesses us as he wills. He tells us to do certain things because he is God and we cannot question him. Number five, cooperate with officials, coaches, directors, and fellow participants to conduct a fair completeness. Amen. These are here, they'll cooperate with the officials like your leaders, your pastors. Your team leader told you to bring oranges because it was your tribe's day. And you said, Masio, I will never bring them. And yet you want to eat. Shindwe hiyo. We are supposed to adhere to what our officials tell us. Amen? When Sister Purity is conducting that thing, she's a leader in her capacity. When Sister Elizabeth calls you to do something, obey. Somebody say obey. Obey. You'll be blessed when you obey. Praise Jesus. Amen. When I've said a call, I say, let us all do this. Let us obey. You may not really be having the capacity to do it, but let me see that you have a tendency to do it. Usigome. They say strike, you know. There are people, the brothers who are very good in striking, but you know, they strike in a faithful way for striking. You know, let the pastor continue saying, you know, somebody will step up. Julius Charity will step up. You know, you striked. You know, if there's a word of you strike, you know, I'm on strike. Obey. Praise the Lord. Number six, do not retaliate verbally or physically if the other team demonstrates poor behavior. Now, you can get that by yourself. Amen. Do not retaliate. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm almost done. Okay, number seven, accept seriously the responsibility and the privilege of representing Special Olympics. Number eight, define winning as doing your personal best. I like this. Define winning as doing your personal best. You will win when you're doing your personal best. Amen? Like when you know, there's a way you can say, this person is really trying, but I know this is not really operating under their maximum potential, but at least they are trying. Yeah? You are better than somebody who is not even trying to make an attempt to try. So your winning is defined by doing your very best. How many of you believe that they can do their very best in anything? You can do your very best. You may not really be articulative, but you can do your very best. Then you'll be winning when you're doing your very best. Are you listening to me? And somebody say amen. Number nine, live up to the high standard of sportsmanship established by your coach. There are certain standards that you have established in the church. Like we want to come to church early. Amen? We don't want to be keeping on saying every Sunday I come here, I say, oh, please let's come early. You know? Make it a point. As we are saying, when you're doing your very best, even if you've been arriving at 12 when the service starts at 11, can you say, tomorrow, then next week I'll arrive 11:30. You know? You know, by the time you arrive 11:30, then give yourself another jump up. I'll arrive maybe 10:00. Amen? If you have not been paying your tithes, say, this week, I'm going to test the Lord in this. I am going to give to the Lord. No matter what, I'm going to write that check. You know, if you get $1,000, why not write to $100? Do you know, the Bible says that when you don't do it, you are robbers. In fact, that's what the Bible says. Some of you rob me. It's not me who have written that. The Bible says some of you, and please look at me now, everybody. Look at me. Don't look down. Because I'm not stepping on somebody. Let me tell you, I've been there before. Okay? But there are some times also, I don't have anything. But the Lord understands. There's sometimes completely, I'm serious. I don't have money to come and give to the Lord. And I feel bad about it. But when he has given me, when I know that I have some money in my account, I want to make sure that I write a check to the house of the Lord. Somebody say amen. It is something that when you come and you're not giving to Pastor Tony. You're not giving to Pastor Julius. You're not giving to Pastor Francis you're not making Brother Joe feel so good that you have given your tithes. No. When you give, sometimes I don't even check on that list. Because I know you ought to give to your maker. Your Lord who sees everything in secret, he sees it. He checks and he sees, this guy, I have blessed him with $10,000. Not even a dollar he can give to me. I'll still have, because I have no alternative. But I would really want him to come and step up and give to us the work of the ministry. See, God uses men to help other men. Amen? He will use you to support the work of the ministry. If we don't give, like I'll tell you this, and maybe I'm preempting what, you know, Brother Julius was going to tell us. Like the last 4 weeks, think about this. The last 4 weeks, in fact, somebody called me, the people who do the finances, we are just raising $400. Now, if you'd think $400, we pay, if we would give $400, and please don't, I'm not stepping on anybody, say, I still love you, Pastor. Say, I still love you. I don't love you, those who never said. God help me. So what I'm saying is this. When we give like $400, the other Sunday I think we give $500, the other time $700. When you tarry all that amount, it's not even enough to pay this building, let alone the money that we pay to the guys who do the work here. By the way, we pay them, you know. So if we pay them $150 a pop, so that Sunday we just give $100. $100, we cannot even, we don't know whether we are going to buy a tissue. We are not going to know whether we are going to buy, you know, sugar. We don't know what you're going to buy. Amen? So it keeps you in a position whereby you don't know how to do. And you know what happens? Somebody say, oh, you know what? I think other people are going to step up and do the job. But you know what? If everybody, or each one of us says that each one is going to step up, who is going to do it? Amen? I know this is hard, and I know you at this point I may lose a lot of you, but it is still okay because I believe God has mandated for me to speak this. I'm speaking with a lot of grace. Let us step up to support the work of the ministry. And let me tell you, I understand. Times have been difficult. There sometimes I told you that I don't have anything to give that Sunday. But when God has blessed me, I will make sure that I step up and give something to the ministry. You'll be amazed. You know what? If every single one of us, are you listening to me? If every single one of us who has a job, if you're faithful, whether you give $30, whether you give $20, that money will be pulled together and it will be enough even for this size of congregation. Amen? Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah again. God is in you. Say hallelujah. You still love me? You know, guys, I've been in places whereby there's a fundraiser every Sunday. In fact, one pastor called me and told me, Tony, let me give you a plan. You need to count the offering before people have gone home. That's what they do in their church. See how much money they raised. Because you have a certain budget you have to meet. If they have given $800, tell them, let a chondo tena. But I said in my heart, no. I cannot do that. The way I know God, I don't think God is like that. Because that is very manipulative. This is what I believe, church. That if God can touch you, if you can have a relationship with him, then you will feel that obligation to sow to your house. This is your church. And the bills that have to be paid. I don't believe in doing abracadabra, no. I believe in God speaking to you. And of course, speaking to you like I'm doing right now. I will not even say, now because I spoke like that, Isaac, go bring the basket so that we can add. No, I don't do that. I also don't believe in saying that give $100 and you will get a return in 30 days. I don't believe in those abracadabra. But I believe when God in your core speaks to you, you're going to step up. Amen? Hallelujah? Lastly, the Bible talks about a farmer. And this is what it says, man. Trust me, I'm not going to dwell so much on this one because of our time. But this is what it says. Think about, and hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruits of their labor. And Paul writes to Timothy, he tells him, think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand these things. The Lord is helping understand these things. Amen? Now, in the book of 1 Timothy 4:8. 1 Timothy 4:8. This is what the Bible says. Paul's still writing to Timothy. And he's telling him, physical training is good. Okay? Physical training is good. Like going to the gym, running every morning is good. It's good to do that. If you have not been doing that, start something. Maybe in your house, mark timing or something. It is good. Okay? But training for godliness is much, much better. Promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Amen? This is a trustworthy saying, and everybody should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly to all believers. What Paul is writing to Timothy is telling him to train himself in godliness. How do you train yourself in godliness? It is by prayer. It is by reading the Word of God. It is by fellowshipping with other brothers. Do not be ignorant of those things. Amen? And we have created opportunities for you to either come and pray. We have created opportunities where you can come and hear the Word of the Lord. We have given you opportunities to come and train yourself, you know, in godliness. Now, it says that the benefits that you reap for godly training, you get benefits right now. Amen? You can have benefits right now and even in the future. Now, the future has not determined what future God is speaking of, but I believe that the future might also in heaven, but it can also be in my generation. That means there are certain things that you're going to train yourself in that are going to be beneficial to your children. Are you listening to me? Just because of your training in godliness, Jeremy is going to reap off the benefits because his daddy trained. If I don't train, maybe there are some benefits that I'm denying him. Are you listening to me? In the future, who knows where you're going to be 5 years down the road? And that's why somebody said that the prayers you pray right now can be able to help you. God deposits those prayers and they can be used in the foreseeable future. Who knows where God is going to put you? And maybe the things that you're going to be doing in that, but in right now, maybe the prayers that you're offering right now will deliver you out of a great quagmire. Are you listening? In fact, there's a lady who preached one time in the Full Gospel Church, and she helped me, and she said in our Greek language, and excuse me, somebody can interpret maybe for Sister Lorraine, she said, Mahoya makoro ne tamu dido. You see, it is like a kiba, it is like a reservoir, it is like a deposit. So when you pray, it does never go, it will help you in the foreseeable future. So training in godliness has benefits for right now, but even for the future. So what would you rather be? Would rather, it is good, as Paul encourages Timothy, says that you can train in the physical. It's good. It has benefits, but not every benefit. But when you train in godliness, it has benefits for now and in the future. That means there are some of you right now, as I'm speaking, I'm concluding completely right now. There are some of you who are enjoying blessings because of things that you did for God maybe years back. You are swimming in the aroma and in the greatness of God. God is just opening up doors for you because of things that you did 5 years down the road. So we have to be men and women who learn how to invest. We have to invest for the future. And the way to invest for the future, even for our children, is to train ourselves in godliness. When you come for that kesha, when you come for that Bible study, it is you're investing for your children. You're investing for things that may come to you 5 years down the road. When you're doing the work for the Lord, you're probably investing for 10 years down the road when you may not be in a position to do what you are called to do. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful. Thank you for your word, because your word is active and alive. Your word is sharper than any double-edged sword. I pray that in this congregation, you shall train us to be men and women who will train ourselves in godliness. Thank you, Father, because we are like soldiers. You've told us and reminded us, Lord, about in that article about that talks about the etiquettes of a good soldier, that even in these very muscles, discipline is ingrained and seared within him, so that even when he doesn't feel like he wants to do it, he will do it anyway, because it is in his core. Train us and take us deeper into understanding what a good soldier is. You've also spoke to us about an athlete, that we are in a race, that we are supposed to complete each other, to respect one another, to honor one another, to encourage each other. You've also spoken to us about being a farmer who works hard and who waits for his returns out of his labor. I pray that we shall train ourselves in godliness, for we shall reap benefits not only now, but even for the future life. Help each one of us, God. Help us, Lord Jesus. I pray for the families that are in this church, that you shall give them a propensity to advance and to move forward in the name of Jesus. I call for businesses. I call for promotions. I call for them, for you, oh God, to expand their territories. There are people who are going through a financial quagmire right now. I break that quagmire in the name of Jesus. I speak a release in the name of Jesus. Haven't you said that you will empower us to be wealthy? Lord, I pray that you may bring your empowerment to every family. Let them see your strategy clearly through your eyes in the name of Jesus. That when we understand and fathom your strategy, we shall sleep ourselves into it. And we shall move by the move of God, knowing that you are leading us somewhere. You spoke to us and you say, behold, I'm doing a new thing amongst you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are waiting upon you, knowing that you're leading us to some greatness of some sort, to the glory and honor of your name. We thank you, we bless you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Someone who loves him, shout a big amen. 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 Give him a hand of praise in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, please, I ask you to bear with us. We are going to get into this session whereby we are going to have a heart-to-heart. We're going to explain to you where we are at this stage and where we shall be going. We shall explain a few things to you. And so I would really ask you to give us probably maybe the next 10 minutes and we shall be done. And so after this session, if you have any questions that you want to ask, you are welcome to ask us those questions and we'll be able to answer those questions. Amen? So I'm going to invite Pastor JK. We organize these things, you know, together. We had already discussed with the leaders, and so we just want to outline, you know, some of the things, where we are, where we are going, and so be attentive. And if you have any question, again, I just want you to reserve it to the end. And so we'll let us welcome Pastor Julius to come and begin, and then I'll also speak something about it.
Amen. So the first thing we wanted to handle